Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I bet you've heard the saying, be careful what you pray for. There was a man who decided that patience would never again be one of his prayer requests. God answered me, all right. I spent an hour in traffic today waiting to get around an accident. Man, I was in such a hurry to make it home that I didn't see the speed trap. Unfortunately, he saw me. I got a lecture from the cop and a $75 ticket. Then, finally, I pulled into the drive-thru lane for some late supper. Well, there were six cars in line in front of me, and the cashier asked me to wait in the parking lot off to the side while they brought me my fast food. Lord, maybe next time, could you just give me better luck? Well, things were bad in Judah when Habakkuk prayed to the Lord. So many selfish and godless kings had neglected or run roughshod over their divine calling to rule over their people in God's name. Turn off your phone. The priests were better known in those days for their love of comfort and luxury than for their zeal for teaching God's law. And there had been lots of good prophets, yes, in Israel's history, but they had a way of frequently being shouted down by false ones who dreamed up words from the Lord that sounded a lot more like wish lists for Santa than divine messages from God. Corrupt leaders lead people into darkness, and all Habakkuk could see as he looked around at his nation was darkness. Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. The more Habakkuk prayed, the more afraid he grew that God wasn't listening, that God wouldn't stop and the people from sinning their way straight into the fires of hell. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Now our reading today is made up of two little pieces of Habakkuk's prophecy. And in between, if we were to read that, we would see that after Habakkuk lays these questions before the Lord, God does answer him. God hears and answers prayers, after all. He always does in his way and in his time. This time, God's answer was not what Habakkuk was waiting to hear. The Lord told him that he was planning to punish the unfaithfulness of his people with war. The imperial army of Babylon was coming Judah's way in the future. And when it arrived, it would punish God's disobedient people with conquest, death, destruction, and exile. Habakkuk had heard tales of Babylon's growing power, its ambitious plans to rule the world, and its army's fearsome and cruel strength. The plans God revealed to Habakkuk weighed on him like an anchor. Granted, Judah needed humbling for her sin. God could send a revival, sure. A national repentance, yes. But Babylon? Babylon was so much worse than Judah. To Habakkuk, this was strange justice for God the Holy One to choose. God's ways, remember, proclaimed Isaiah, God's ways are not our ways. Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But don't we often live our lives as if our true prayer is, "My will be done"? James scolds us sharply for this. "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your desires. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" When we love our ways and our wishes in life more than God, we're exposed as idolaters and adulterers. 6 centuries before James wrote his letter, though, Habakkuk modeled the very response that James had in mind and urged upon us in his letter when he wrote, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." Habakkuk did not like what he had learned from God, but he continued to pray. And God assured him that his planned use of Babylon as Judah's instrument of judgment was not the end of his plans for Babylon, that puffed up, proud, and arrogant nation. Its day of judgment would also come in God's good time. Now, Habakkuk received more than just an answer to his prayer. God gave him a prophetic message revealing his plans for his people. In so doing, God called Habakkuk to be a prophet, first as a writer and then as a preacher. "Write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time, it hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come and it will not delay." God gives us his word in speech and in writing. And we need to hear it. Really, we need to hear it more than we need anything else. Remember, Jesus said we don't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from God's mouth. Because daily troubles in life conspire to overwhelm us, to demoralize us, and to paralyze us in our living. We look around and we wonder, what can we do about all the problems we see? What can we do about poverty? What can we do about homelessness or rising crime rates, shrinking church attendance, corrupt politicians, or global warming? God has given us his words to give us light, to guide us through the darkness that we see around us each day. This familiar one from the mouth of God and the pen of Habakkuk gives us a good starting point. "Behold, his soul is puffed up, it is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith." When we look around at everything that's bad in our world and we see life's messes, there's a temptation today to think we've got to be Mr. Clean or Mrs. Clean and clean up the messes we see. We need solutions. We need fixes. When we see the brokenness of the world, we think, "Here I am, I'm Mr. Fix-It. I've got a solution." Or if we don't, we feel bad because we don't. But brothers and sisters, that is not our calling. God's word to Habakkuk helpfully warns us to beware of the pride that tempts us when we see the problems in life around us. This world doesn't need a superhero. It needs a savior. And God's word tells us that that savior is already here. In answer to the fallenness of this world, God performed an even stranger form of justice than the Babylonian conquest of his people in ancient Judah. For God took the sins of the whole world and he laid them all upon the soul of his sinless son, making him the lamb whose sacrificial death atones for all the guilt that has ever been heaped upon humanity since our fall in Eden. God the Son stepped down from heaven and dressed himself in our flesh to do this for us. He died a criminal's death, reviled by sinners, and punished eternally by God his Father to free our souls from sin and death. Jesus, the righteous one, lived and died by faith in God his Father. Then he was raised from the dead to bestow his righteousness upon you and me. He returned to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit to open our ears and our hearts to hear and to believe God's happiest of news. Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is mine. We live by faith in him. His word is the light for our feet, the lamp, I got them backwards, for our path. God's word is food that strengthens us in faith and in righteous living in the midst of a dark and fallen world. God calls none of us to be heroes, but he certainly calls all of us to shine with the light of faith in his Son as we live together in our families, husbands loving wives, wives submitting and caring for their husbands, children obeying parents, parents raising and loving and caring for their children. He calls us to shine with the light of faith through our daily work. We don't work for ourselves. The work that we do in our lives is for the sake of our neighbor, to do well for them, to help them. We're God's hands extended. We're God's servants, serving others with what we've been given to give. We shine with the light of faith in the fellowship of our church. This is LWML Sunday, and if you were to look back on the calendar, you would see many of the events that have taken place in the last little while. They involve the LWML. Without ladies preparing food or serving at lunches after funerals, it would have been a very different gathering. There's lots of things that are done that we never see, like the mites that are sent overseas to support different kinds of ministries. The light of faith shining through us in our acts, bringing blessing both to our congregation and to people throughout the world. And finally, we shine with the light of faith among our neighbors, the people we live in this city. We can volunteer, we can support and help a neighbor, somebody who needs a little assistance. We can do those things also because of the love of Christ that is ours. Faithful prayer, kindness, compassion, truthfulness, patience, humility, and especially love are powerful gifts for us to share with all of our neighbors. And Jesus has an endless supply of these to give to us so that we can pass them on. And of course, we need to face the fact that we ourselves will never chase away all of life's dangers and disappointments. That's not our calling. We have been given God's word here to hear it, to know it, to trust it, to live it, and to speak it. His word promises us that God himself has in mind a day for final judgment and for all heaven to break loose on this earth. God has promised that he will make everything, all things new. No more tears, no more sin, no more evil, no more death, but life, life when Jesus comes again. His encouragement to Habakkuk remains true for us as people to whom he speaks today. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. And so we pray, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.